You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Lee Chui Lin. The baby of environmental organisation EcoNights, the Kuala Lumpur Eco Film Festival 2013, or KLF 2013, has been working hard to encourage one and all to become more ecologically conscious and to adopt a more sustainable lifestyle. Returning for a sixth instalment, the festival offers film screenings, workshops and talks on sustainable living, nature craft activities for children, performances, exhibitions and fairground attractions, among others. Here to fill me in on all that's in store is Fadli Bhaktia, the program manager of KLF, together with Sohan Roy and Shyam Kurup, whose film Dam 999 is one of the featured films at the festival. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Fadli, firstly, six years running and it's only getting stronger. How would you describe the growth of the annual KL Eco Film Festival?
The growth has been really beyond that what we've expected since the first year. You know, when we started this in 2008, it was more of sitting during a coffee and thinking that why don't we start a film festival, because most of us love to watch movies, and because there's a lack of resources to get films, especially in documentaries, so we thought this could be the start. And after 6 years, it's wonderful to have witnessed it.
Looking back on the past 5 years, what results or changes have you witnessed as a direct or indirect result of the film festival?
Well, when we started the festival, the main reason is to get more content, to develop more local content. And the first year, there was about only 6 or 7 local films. And now, after 6 years, we have received in total of more than 50 local films. And this is definitely a growth of the festival. And indirectly, now everybody's... not everybody, I would say people, as you know, when we say KLFF, people know what it is, and of course this is something that we hope for.
Obviously it's an event that's for the public, you're hoping for public participation. So in terms of the feedback you've received, what have been some of the best and then on the other end of the scale, harshest comments that you've gotten?
The best comment was actually, I've heard it earlier this year. We had a screening at Pala Palette, and one of the audience told us that thanked us and told us that we are one of the festival organizers who provide a platform for local public to have some fun time watching films and also learn about environment. So it is very good to hear that from the public. In terms of the harshest, people in the environmental industry are very friendly, you know. They're always positive people.
Except to litterers.
Yes, but I would say we take everything as a positive comment. We try our best to accommodate. For instance, this year, we're bringing out to Publica. So that's one of the comments last year, about having difficulties to reach out to the public. So we bring it outside.
So you do listen to feedback and kind of try and adjust.
Of course, that's the only way to grow. That's the only way to grow.
And what are some of the greatest challenges that you feel you've overcome in the last 6 years?
First of all, to make it public, the first year when, for the past few years when we tried to tell people the importance of environmental education in Malaysia, people still think that it has a lot to do with difficult stuff, heavy stuff, heavy topics. But when we introduce films as a medium to communicate with the public about environmental issues, they seem to be more responsive towards it, and the storytelling is better, so acceptance is easier for people, especially if you want to educate the kids. We have animations, short films for kids, so it's a good platform for us to give it to the public.
And what challenges do you think still remain that you need to overcome in the future film festivals that you put together?
I think what we need is to keep on working and convince, different group of people, you know, corporates, government agencies, of course the public, to understand the issue of environment and that these issues are real. So, we are trying to tell them through stories around the world and also, you know, from local filmmakers, so that they know that we need to take actions and it's our job to take care of the environment.
Yep, it's a film festival with a message, and
yes,
essentially.
Yeah.
Sohan, you hail from Kerala, and you're the CEO and founder of the Aries Group of Companies. So, you've got a pretty rare combination of occupations, marine engineer, naval architect, marine surveyor, and now film director. What made you go from marine engineering to filmmaking?
Yeah, filmmaking was always my passion. After my engineering studies, actually, I went and joined film industry for some time. But unfortunately, I couldn't continue with that one because of heavy pressure from my family. They told me I had to go back to my profession. So I had no other choice. So I continued with my profession. But later, I decided at a certain stage I had to go back. So I took a U-turn.
So what was that U-turn like, you know, making the change to come back to what was your first passion?
That day I decided to take a U-turn. Only thing is I had to put a mark in front of me because I was a designer. Every designer's ultimate passion is to have his design at the peak of his profession. So one of my design I took to the Guinness Book of World Records. That I said, okay, that is I have reached the ultimate thing. Now I have to go back. So I took a diploma from Film Institute, Hollywood Film Institute, as a filmmaker for the direction and production actually. I started with a television channel first, as the first maritime TV channel, that is Marine Biz TV. So in that television channel, I tried to make several documentaries. So that was the confidence I got. So one day I decided, now it is time to make a movie.
And you, with your diploma in film direction from the Hollywood Film Institute, what was the process of getting that diploma like? You know, did you enjoy learning about film?
No, actually, the course was practically for the people with passion, and because the basic theory is talent cannot be injected. That is the basic theory they follow. If you have the talent, you have to go for it. Otherwise, there is no meaning of years of learning in any institute. But the thing is, after the completion, we need to have, within 6 months, we need to do an independent project. So, that time also I was working in my profession, I cannot leave my profession. So, what I decided was, I had to select a project accordingly so that I can work along with my profession. That's why I selected this television channel, this Marine Biz TV, because that is a project for the maritime industry. That is my field. So, a TV channel is a visual media, so we can do anything in that one. So, that was my practical ground. So from the scratch till the execution, I worked in that one. So it gave me confidence as a director as well as a producer.
So in a way, when you started out, it was you had grounding in something that you were familiar with still, because it was maritime, to do with maritime ships and so on.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Sham, what is your background or expertise in?
I'm basically a naval architect. You can call in simple ways ship designer. And I'm part of Aries Group. And Aries Group is the largest ship design firm in the Middle East. We also have offices worldwide, USA, that is Houston, Singapore, Baku, Azerbaijan, Qatar. We cover Middle East, China also. And we also own two television channels. That is, as he said, so on, Marine Biz TV, and a new one is for the healthcare channel. And we are the producers of the movie Dam 999. So when we wanted to make a movie, there was two missions actually. One, we should, being the ambassadors of the shipping industry, we should brand the maritime industry. And second is, since you are the intention is not to make a profit, then at least it should have a social message. So we thought we'll make Dam 999 because we wanted to spread the awareness of outdated dams happen worldwide, which could close a million lives, actually. It was inspired by, the movie actually was inspired by an accident, tragic accident, which happened in Bangkok in China, 1975. So that was our intention. And we will go further. Our next movie is on Somalian piracy. We are trying to see the positive sides of pirate, because everywhere the pirates are blamed, actually. So we wanted to we want the world to know how they became pirates. So that is our second project. You can call the next project.
And we will find out more about the film Dam 999 after the break. Sitting in with me today is Fadli Bhaktia, who's the program manager of the Kuala Lumpur Eco Film Festival 2013, Sohan Roy and Shyam Kurup, who both worked on the film Dam 999 on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You are listening to The Bigger Picture with me, Lee Chui Lin. In the studio with me today is Fadli Bhaktia, who is the program manager of the Kuala Lumpur Eco Film Festival 2013, Hello. Sohan Roy, director and scriptwriter of Dam 999, and Shyam Kurup, who is the producer of that movie as well. So we've heard a little bit about what the movie is about. I understand that the entire plot revolves around a colonial dam built in Kerala 100 years ago. Could you explain?
Actually, if, I live in Cochin, the city Cochin. So just very close to Cochin, there is a dam called Mullaperiyar. It was built 118 years back by British. That time it was really necessary for the, it was a flood control thing, and also same time there was a heavy water shortage in the nearest stage, the state that is Tamil Nadu. So the entire water is taken to Tamil Nadu, and because Kerala is a place with plenty of water, but all this due course, this condition of the dam has become very, very worse. And also it's a earthquake prone area. Every week there's an earthquake happens over there. So at any stage this dam can burst. Only the leak started. If it burst, it will be the world's largest man-made disaster. The expected death toll will be 2.5 million. That is for sure, because the thickly populated area right in front of us, in front of this dam. And we are all actually, including me, we are all living, we are all frightened. And I am 100% sure that if it happens, either me or my relatives or my friends will be a victim for sure. This is now in the Supreme Court, because a case is going on. But unfortunately, there is a contract between two states to share the water for 999 years. It's an absolute nonsense contract. No man-made structure can stand for 999 years. But unfortunately, because of this particular reason, no political parties are willing to cooperate to demolish this dam. Actually, it is a necessity that we need to have a new dam in front of this old dam. We can build a bigger dam so that this other state can use more water. But unfortunately, due to political reasons, this is not happening. And the case is going on in the Supreme Court for decades. No decision is taken. So that is a very reason, actually. That was the spark I got to write a script on this one.
Right. So here I have it said that it was built 100 years ago. So if it's supposed to last 999 years, we have 899 years left on the dam. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, that's quite frightening.
No, not really. Actually, if this is a single incident, but if you look at worldwide, there are, by 2020, there will be 40,000 similar outdated dams across the world. And this will be the biggest man-made threat in the modern human race, actually. Every city will be faced or placed in front of a water bomb, like this particular issue. But unfortunately, nobody is prepared to replace this kind of dams. No government has budgeted anything for replacing these ones. So we have to take a measure. So maybe this movie will give a highlight on this one.
The movie is also said, Asham, you mentioned earlier, to be a tribute to the 250,000 people who lost their lives in the 1975 Banqiao Dam disaster in China. Why did this tragedy in particular inspire you to make the film? Is it because, as you mentioned, that idea, that notion of threat and how it could affect people?
And actually, this particular Banqiao Dam disaster, nobody knows that so far the world's largest man-made disaster is not the Hiroshima Nagasaki nuclear disaster. Actually, it is the Banqiao Dam disaster. In a single day, 250,000 people got killed. But even that news did not leak out for 15 years. China did not reveal it. Now the world is coming to know about this particular incident. Okay, in a single day, because of the torrential rain, one dam initially collapsed. 62 dams in front of all collapsed all of a sudden. So far, and later we came to know that this Mullaperiyar Dam and Bangiyar Dam got the same similar capacity, and Mullaperiyar Dam is situated almost 7 times higher altitude than Bangiyar. So that's why we made this tribute to Bangiyar Dam.
You've also said that the central character of the story is the dam and the life of a few mariners living near it. There are 9 characters in the movie representing the Navarasas. Could you explain the concept of the Navarasas to those who are unfamiliar with it?
Yeah, actually, the world's first theatrical action form, that is Natya Shastra, which is almost 3,000-year-old concept, actually. It was formed in India, actually. So, and unfortunately, the world is still not aware about this greatest concept. So through this, because in the Natya Shastra, what they have done is they have divided the entire human emotions into 9 different forms, like fury or love or different emotions. So every individual got a static emotion. One of the emotions will be placed in every individual. So what we have done is we are telling the story through 9 characters. Each character is representing each rasa. So through this movie, through these characters, the people should understand which are these human emotions, and we want to establish this Navarasa concept, actually. Every individual is holding emotions at certain stage. This static emotion changes, and everyone holds a dam in their heart, so it has to burst. So in the climax, each individual's, each character's emotional dam also getting burst in this movie, so that their static emotion also changes.
And moving on to the actual shoot, could you share about Dam 999's shoot? Where did you go to film?
We actually had shoots. Basically, the story revolved around the dam in India. So the shoot was south part of India. We also shot it in Middle East, at least Dubai, Fujairah, Anchorage, because we had to bring in the marine concept. We actually brought in a huge tanker ship. So you can say it was shot on land as well as in sea, because we used a very huge tanker ship, and it is supposed to be the largest ship to be ever featured in a movie. So we are going for the Guinness Book of World Records. So apart from India, we shot it in Middle East too.
And could you discuss the cast with me? Because I understand that there were some casting issues along the way.
Well, the director is the best person to answer because he was under pressure of the casting issues.
Yeah, actually, initially itself, we selected one of the best, I would say, national award-winning actor for the movie. But unfortunately, he was banned by the film industry. So because of that issue, the association said we cannot shoot the movie. They will not cooperate. So the issue started from there, but later it went to different issues. I don't think any movies in India made so far has faced this many hurdles, but fortunately we could complete it on time,
like
itself.
Before we started the shoot, and after the shoot also, after the release also, we are still struggling with the problem.
Exactly. You know, the film did caught some controversy. There were accusations, for example, that the film's plot would disturb the cordial relations between Tamil Nadu and Kerala. You know, could you relate what happened? What went on?
The intention, we didn't have any intention to have a issue there, but unfortunately, the issues happened. The movie, I have to admit, it was the starting point of the issue. There was a kind of political war between Tamil Nadu and Kerala, and the movie was a starting point. And in fact, because the movie portrayed a futuristic problem, people took it personally. The two states took it personally, and there's a war. The Parliament of India got stuck for two days, actually. Even the Chief Minister, Prime Minister were talking about the movie. We feel somewhere the movie was a thought provoker, but eventually it did create the problem.
And was there a ban as well? How did you challenge and fight this ban?
Yeah, actually, till the previous day of the release, nobody was aware or confident that this movie can be released, because Tamil Nadu was putting heavy pressure to get a national ban. And Warner Brothers was supposed to be the distributor in India. Even they were helpless. They cannot, because we booked almost 600 theaters in India, and on the previous day also, nobody knows. We couldn't even put a poster or any advertisement. We cannot give. That was the condition. But ultimately, the official official ban came in Tamil Nadu only, but unofficially this movie is now banned in all the state, including film festivals. Actually, you won't believe, even film, because Tamil Nadu got so much control on the film industry actually in India. So naturally, it affected basically the political people created the problem. But otherwise, I don't think any reason to ban this movie. Even in Kerala, you won't believe, Kerala is our home state where the movie was a super hit, but the entire collection of the movie and the industry they forced the distributors or the exhibitors to pay us fine. So it was a total loss. We, as a director, maybe I should be the happiest man in the world, because no movie ever made in India. India is supposed to be the largest filmmaking country in the world. No movie ever got such a publicity in India. But as a producer, we lost millions and millions of dollars.
Like I before the release of the movie, when the problem started, as a producer, I just called my friend in Chennai, asking how the publicity of the movie is going. Have you put up the posters? He said the theater is burned. So you can imagine the lab where the movie's post production was done, Prasad Kala Lab, one of the biggest in India, the biggest in India. It was also burned. A portion of that they damaged the film roll. So it was all like hurting actually. Like they have not seen the people behind this, the politician. They have not seen the movie. In fact, we did the screening of the movie, the banned version of the movie, in Houston for the same Tamil community, because the movie was banned in Tamil Nadu. When they saw the movie, they generally understood that nothing as portrayed was shown in the movie. So nobody has seen the movie, but, and they come with the hammers and tongs.
Yeah, I think it's a problem that we face, with censorship in general. That, very often people haven't actually seen the movie.
But actually, the movie got cleared by censor and then it's banned.
Ah, we're familiar with that in Malaysia as well. So ultimately, for the people who did watch the movie, how was it received?
Oh, it's well received. Now actually, Dam's journey is still continuing for how many years now. Every month we are getting at least two or three film festival selections. Private screenings are happening worldwide. Actually, I am really tired of attending all these things. That way I'm so happy, and even our maritime community support us a lot. Every month we have a private screening at one of the maritime hubs, so all the marine clients, our well wishers, everyone come for the screening. It's a reason for us to call these people, meet these people, and they really, because that gives me more energy to make another movie.
Because the real audience for the movie is the audience of the film festivals. They are the people who evaluate exactly the movie. So we are very happy that the film festivals, it is doing round. The movie was released actually commercially in 28 countries, and Warner Brothers was released, but happy that it is also going to.
Moreover, see, this is the first movie from India to get into the Oscar race in the mainstream. 5 Oscar shortlistings is good. It's a great achievement. It's for the first time. The biggest filmmaking country in the world gets sends a movie for the first time to the main Oscar race. And this is the first movie from India to get an entry to the Chinese Oscar, that is the Golden Rooster. So for what else we need to achieve?
And you managed to reach people as well, despite the ban and despite all the troubles. Of course, it's showing in the Eco Film Festival. Finally, just going back to that, what are some major highlights that we can look out for in terms of the film screenings?
Well, actually, the film screenings have started since August. We have screened a lot of our official selections. And because this year we've received over 200 films in total, we could not screen everything during the festival. We had to schedule it in separate days and times and venues. But for this weekend, actually starting today, we are screening our first film at the Segaris Art Center, A Fierce Green Fire. Will be introduced by the Executive Director of Malaysian Nature Society, Shahreza, tonight at 8 p.m. And also starting today from 1 p.m. until night, until Sunday, we will go back to back from 1 p.m. And I know I've seen some of the films. I am so glad I've watched them. So we have the booklets, people can watch, look at the website, you can read the synopsis. There are, I think, almost... there's a lot of films for almost everyone, different genres, different lengths, different topics. Yeah.
In fact, as a person who has been to various film festivals, I find KLF to be extremely professional and managed, because I have seen the materials they are distributing, and it's fairly a young team. And the hospitality we have received here so far has been very good. And we should thank Yasmin, Fadli, and Dania for all the
hard
ones, actually.
Public endorsements.
So honored to have them here.
A young team who has managed to do, it's on environment, actually, and they have kept apart the professional life and spend.
Valuable time they're spending. It's a great thing, because this kind of platforms only give energy for the new generation filmmakers to come forward and to make serious movies.
Yes, and it's happening for the sixth time. That means it is accepted,
or at least we're trying to tell people that they should accept what you're doing.
In fact, the package, the materials are far better than some of the international.
This year has been great so far.
Major public endorsement.
Yep.
The festival also promises several workshops. What are some of the workshops planned for this year?
Well, compared to last year, we've had only about 4 workshops. This year, we work with one of our partners, was Ford Motor, and we have lined up. I think in the list now I have about 9 or 10 community workshop. Is free for everyone. It ranges from kids workshop, making recycled arts, clay workshops. Parents go for the festival, they don't know what to do with the kids. Drop your kids there and give them some time to play with things. We have workshop from trash to bling, teaching especially women to craft something out of
upcycling.
Upcycling, and also we will also have workshops for youth, how to make change, how to be the change. And also lastly, I think one I should highlight is Rob Whitworth time-lapse photography workshop. I think he has been here, he was here last year
on the show,
on the show for interview. So this year he's going to organize one workshop to teach the public, what he's done for the past years.
Yeah, we all saw the video of Kuala Lumpur. Yep. Yeah. And another thing that's going on is the Green Vibe stage, which features some very special performances by local Malaysian artists.
Yes.
Who are among the performers, and when is this taking place?
This is going to take place on Saturday from 3 p.m. until 9:30 p.m. at the B Publica. We have about 10 local performers. Mostly acoustics, they're gonna play their own tunes, play some cover songs, and every year we try to invite different performers, especially the new ones. We always believe in new talents. We want to give them a place for them to perform to our audience. And I hope, I'm always looking forward to music. I'm a music enthusiast. I always look forward to this. Yeah.
I'm sure there are other people who will be as well. Every year, KLF also hosts an exhibition by local businesses and NGOs that are at the forefront of sustainability. Who are some of the vendors this year?
Every year, I think we definitely, we offer this to NGOs such as GAB Foundations, WWF, for them to promote their services or to champion their initiatives. We've also have local SMEs, people who are doing their own homemade soaps, crafting their own artworks, sell it to the public. And I think one thing I should highlight is and also Tanah Merah Spa will also be doing their mini Tanah Merah Day. They will offer quick spa treats, selling all of their eco-friendly products. And also lastly, one I should mention is Nokia is also doing their initiative. You can recycle your any old phones, and you will save a turtle. It's their collaboration with WWF, and you can also win prizes. Yeah.
Win-win.
So, win-win. Yeah.
And for people who are interested in catching Dam 999, specifically, when should they pop by?
It has been screened on in September actually, but we're looking forward.
Waiting for the trophy.
We'll see.
Let the best film win because it's a film on environment concerns. So the movie beach projects the maximum issue. Let it be.
I think something that I should tell. The idea of the festival is to get more people to know about more issues. You know, personally, honestly, from my side, you know, whichever film wins, the message is to get more people to understand the real issue.
True.
And we hope to, you know, maybe we could discuss something further. You know, maybe we could use these films to promote it too, you know, because we go to schools, we go to public areas, and we can probably use that as
as a message.
As a message, yeah.
Okay. The festival kicks off today and goes on until the Sunday. For full information on all the events, do visit ecofilmfest.my. Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lynn.
Thank you.
Thank you. I've been speaking to Fadli Bhatia, who is the program manager for Kuala Lumpur Eco Film Festival, and Sohan Roy and Shyam Kurup, who both worked on Dam 999. This has been The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9. The Business Station.